Don't go changing.
Welcome back to Match the Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I asked two awkward questions before the break. I'm going to ask them again, and then I'm going to tell you my response. The first question is, Russia threatened Finland and Sweden over the weekend, said that if they tried to join NATO, there'd be a severe military response. Finland gave an equivocal answer because they have an 850-mile border with Russia. Sweden said, not with a lot of conviction, we'll decide what we decide to join. Both of them had the chance to join NATO, and they both turned it down, went to their heads a little bit. The Finns had these memories of glory, they thought, from the Second World War, where they all skied down the mountains and dressed in white so they couldn't be seen. They're all ski jumpers, very spidery types on these skis, and they could shoot submachine guns from the air, and they thought that was cool. It is cool. It's cool in the Olympics. That's it. It's not cool now with nuclear weapons. So they never got around to joining NATO. Sweden has this idea about itself that it's somehow, you know, you can sit around the coffee shops of Helsingborg and everybody else is going to take care of you. Well, that ain't the case. Somebody made the point over the weekend. It's a very good one. They said, our holiday from history is over. Our holiday from history is over. We have had a holiday from history from 1945 till now. 77 years. 77 years, we were the preeminent power. We kept things under control. Yeah, there were wars. Yes, there were some wars. But unlike the rest of history, of human history, of massive wars, exterminations, genocides, major shifts in culture. We didn't have that because of the strength of the United States, and it wasn't all military or economic. A lot of it were our values and our Constitution, and they still are. But you know, and I know, that if Russian troops went into Finland or Sweden, we would view that as an attack on Europe itself. And Germany, France, the UK, and the United States would respond militarily. You know that. But if that's the case, why are we not defending Ukraine, who did try to join NATO, and Germany vetoed them? They didn't want to offend Russia, and they wanted to see Ukraine develop a little more. Okay. But Ukraine tried to get in, and Zelensky has more character, resolve, ability, and decency than any of the heads of state in Europe, and especially the heads of state in Finland and Sweden. He's magnificent. His statement a few days ago, when the U.S. and the EU offered to evacuate him and his family, he said, I want ammunition, not a ride. And then in an address over the weekend, very somberly, he said, this may be the last time you see me alive. He's very, very brave. Very brave to stand up with Hitler Putin. Stand up to Hitler Putin. Here's another awkward, and the reason that we would defend Finland and Sweden and shamefully are not defending Ukraine is that Ukraine is a more recent democracy. It's more, it's a European country. Kiev is a major European city, but it's farther away than Scandinavia. And that historically, you know, people in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, just subconsciously doesn't attach them the same importance, quite frankly. I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. Because they are magnificent. Magnificent. It would have been very easy for us to have said to Putin, we have no desire to go to war with you, but this is a civilized country and you're not going in with any kind of genocidal effect. And so if you cross in, we are going to back them up with air power and artillery. We don't want to. That puts the pressure on him. We did not do that, and now they're in. Well, here is the other very, very tender and unpleasant question. as the invasion of Russia starts turning to genocide, there's an increasing fear that they simply intend to destroy Ukraine. I don't mean change government. Yeah, they want to do that and kill Zelensky. Level every building in Kiev. Kill hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people. Ukraine has something like 40 million people. They're bringing in two weapons that are terror weapons that so far have not been outlawed by the international community, but they will if they're used in Ukraine. One of them is a flamethrower. It's a huge, huge military flamethrower. In the Second World War, people used flamethrowers. When the Marines landed against the Japanese on Iwo Jima, Okinawa, and all of the islands in the Pacific, we had to go island by island and wipe them out. The Japanese were in pillboxes, they called them, little bunkers where they lobbed artillery against landing Marines. You get a couple of Marines up there, and they would just fire a flamethrower into the pillbox. It's a very nasty way to go, and they would clean out the pillbox. But this thing is that on steroids. And if the Russians go in to Kiev and go to a train station, a subway station, there are 5,000 women, children, old people huddled down there, and they let go with this thing, it vaporizes human flesh. It vaporizes human flesh. The other terror weapon they're bringing in is a vacuum weapon, and I hadn't heard about it before, but apparently what it does is it just sucks the oxygen out of the air to everybody in the vicinity, destroys their lungs, and they die a very painful death. My feeling, this is genocide, and my feeling, and they're bringing that in as well, my feeling is if they use those weapons, at some point, here is the very unpleasant question I'm going to ask. Do we intervene militarily to prevent a genocide? Not just a regime change or that kind of thing, a genocide. Here's the history of it. Cambodia had a genocide with the Khmer Rouge in the 1970s. Millions of Cambodians were killed. They were killed by other Cambodians. It was a cleansing of themselves in a Holocaust-type sense. We didn't intervene. In Rwanda in the early 90s, the Hutu attacked the Tutsi and genocided them. We did not intervene. We were criticized for not intervening. However, during the Serbian wars in the early 1990s and mid-1990s, ended up in the Dayton Accords. Serbia attacked Croatia and killed Croatians. But then in Bosnia, it slaughtered about 5,000 Muslim men, and Clinton did intervene. We would certainly intervene if there was a genocide in Finland or Sweden because they're not members of NATO. Why do we not intervene if there's a genocide in Ukraine? And the reason, again, and it's too weak, is they're more remote, they're more recent democracy. Eastern Europe is different from Western Europe. I'm tired of that. These are human beings. And not only that, Zelensky is a giant compared to any head of state in Western Europe, any head of state in Western Europe. Here is the way that I would do it. Publicly and privately, I would say to Putin, we have no desire to go to war with you. If we do, we know what the effect would be, but obviously we both have nuclear weapons. But we draw the line at genocide. If you go in with the flamethrower and the vacuum thing and basically torture civilians to eliminate many of them, we will intervene militarily in a limited sense. And here's what we'll do. We will use the full force of American air power, artillery, and missiles to take out any Russian troops and tanks and anything else in Ukraine. I'm not going to interfere in Russia. But if you don't want that, do not go in there and commit genocide. Now, I've told you before, I like playing poker and I like playing Texas Hold'em. I've gone to Vegas and competed in the World Series of Poker events a number of times. I actually cashed in 2006. I enjoy the game. It's part skill and part luck. It's legal out there. Always I do it in legal states. But the theory about going all in poker, that kind of game theory, I'm not talking about John von Neumann game theory. I'm talking about where the rubber hits the road, is this. If you go all in, and the other guy has to risk everything to call you, there's a bigger burden on him than you. Even if he has a good hand, he has to factor in he might lose. He might lose, and the psychology of it puts a lot of pressure on him. Putin went all in by saying that I am going to invade Ukraine, and if anybody interferes with me, there'll be a severe military response that would be the most dramatic and you've never experienced in your history, i.e. threatening nuclear weapons. That's going all in, and it worked. We've gone all in by saying, this is Biden, if you set one foot on any NATO country's soil, we will defend it under Article 5. That's going all in. Otherwise, he might have gone into Latvia or Estonia and kidnapped, and he did this before. He went into Estonia and kidnapped some folks, claimed they were abusing Russian nationals. There are no Russian nationals there, but they're Russian speakers. Well, I speak Spanish too. It doesn't make me a Mexican national. Okay. But by going all in, Putin now has to say, if I set a boot there, I'm going to take in the American military. Well, he then put his nuclear forces on standby. He upgraded the alert just now. He's woofing, talking trash. The United States wisely didn't respond. However, if we go all in now in Ukraine, say, okay, you're there, but if you use the flamethrower and the vacuum bomb to torture civilians and commit genocide, we will intervene militarily in a limited sense against Russian presence in Ukraine. That's going all in the other way. Then if Putin brings in the flamethrower and the vacuum bomb, he knows there's going to be a consequence. This is a World Series of poker, and it's going all in. This guy is a Hitlerian freak and a murderer. But if there's any semblance of rationality in their leadership, this is the way to do it. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after this.